You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot, fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day. I get excited about it every night about it. A real C's fan wouldn't want to live their life without it. Banner 18 in the making, we gotta make it. Best squad in the East and still we can't get complacent. Most winning franchise, so the history's ancient. You could tell them other guys to go and plan a vacation. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. The most in-depth coverage that you ever gonna hear. Well respected in the city like Russell's career. It's Raining Jay. Millie.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast with the Rainy Jays. Today, it's me, your boy, Jay King from The Athletic, here with Sam Jam Packard, also known as Jamison Packard III, a.k.a. God Jam God, a.k.a. Young Baby Jamwich, a.k.a. the saddest man in Boston. After news that Al Horford could join Kyrie Irving on the way out the door. Whew, this podcast will mostly be about the Horford news, the fallout of the Horford news, what the Celtics could do next. There will be a lot of Horford discussion, basically solely Horford discussion. Let's start with you, Sam, because I know this news, the likelihood that Horford could find another destination hit you square in the family jewels.
Yeah. It was tough. Al Horford was a damn good basketball player for the Celtics for his entire 4 years here. He was just amazingly good and stable, and dumbasses like Lou Maloney would always attack him, and he was just one of my favorite players. Just a beautiful, beautiful man, a beautiful father. it sucks. It's just not it, like it was a big blow. It felt like, so the, when I saw the news, it was someone tweeted at me. He's like, oh, someone better console Jam. And it was responding to the Shams tweet where it was like, Kyrie Irving and Al Horford are probably going to leave. And I was fully prepared for the, Kyrie leaving. And it just didn't really affect me whatsoever. As I mentioned on this podcast multiple times, I had a gut feeling that Al would return. I was having discussions with Al's siblings over Twitter about how much we liked each other or just earlier today. It's just tough. I don't blame Al. I think, what did Woj say? That the Celtics were basically lowballing him, that he wanted more money for what is going to turn into a four-year deal. I don't really blame him. I hope he goes to a championship contender, but it's just, the Celtics, I think, with Al Horford on the team next year, we're going to be a solidly like entertaining mid-tier Eastern Conference playoff team. I still think they're a decent team. I still think they have a lot of talent. It just sucks. That's all I can say.
Yeah, it's a tough, tough hit for the Celtics if Horford does leave. And there's still time. There's still a couple weeks until the free agency period begins. There's still time for them to reach some sort of resolution with him. Even though there are other teams with cap space, including the Lakers, including the Bucks, if they renounce some free agents, including some other places where Horford would have a better chance of winning a title.
Giannis just tweeted the eyes emoji, so we know what that means.
Yeah, that's
it's a bad sign for any Eastern Conference foes. I wanted Al Horford to go to the Clippers, hang out with Kawhi, maybe try to win a championship there. Really just wanted him in the Western Conference. I thought if Durant left, he'd be cool in Golden State. But, yeah, there's a lot of different teams that could use Al Horford's ability and just stability. And he's just was the best defensive player on the Celtics. That's going to be one thing that takes a huge hit. He was the quarterback of their defense. And I just don't know how they, replace him whatsoever.
Yeah, and that's the thing. The one thing that was, I mean, a year ago this time, you looked at the Celtics' future, and it looked really promising on almost every front, right? And obviously, that has been shattered in a lot of ways.
Oh, yeah.
But when the one real question mark was, what would be the Al Horford succession plan? And the Celtics drafted Robert Williams. He's just like, he can dunk. I know that.
He can jump. The guy loves jumping.
Very much a mystery. There's still a lot of growing he needs to do. Aaron Baines has returned. He may be trade bait now. He may
want to. Yeah, you think he's pissed off right now? Is like, this is not the team I thought I was going to play for.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll want to be traded. If he's not, he looks like he's in line to start at center for the Celtics. That's a big offensive downgrade from Horford. The Celtics could clear about $28 million in cap space by renouncing all of their free agents, including
Couldn't they
Marcus.
Get up to like 32 if they just don't draft anyone or like draft and stash?
Yeah. Yeah. They could. There are ways to get more. But
who are the hell are they going to use max cap space on? It's like they're not getting Kevin Durant. Like they're not. It doesn't make sense. There's the thing is like, if you take a step back, I'm going to really try to channel my most sports optimist right now. Al Horford, like being on the team for what, the next 3 years, like I don't think it really changes the championship window. The Celtics, once it was Kyrie was leaving, once they didn't get AD, it feels like they were really pivoting to the young guys, and they're on the timeline of Jaylen and Jason. And so I don't think they were going to contend for a title in the next 2 years. And so not having Al Horford be there for the next 2 years, it's less fun. But I don't think it drastically changes their like window. I just think it makes the focus is more on like it's just clearer that like they're building for the future now rather than contending while the Jays develop into superstars. But I don't think it like drastically sets them back in terms of the earliest time they could win a championship.
Yeah, probably true. Nonetheless, like if you are trying to be competitive. And if, like right now, what are the Celtics going to be? And I do think Horford was, he makes things easier for everybody. Like if Horford is on the team, everything will come easier for Jason Tatum. Everything will come easier for Jaylen Brown. Everything will come easier for Gordon Hayward. If Horford leaves, what do you do with Gordon Hayward? Do you audition him for half a year and try to trade him at the deadline?
I mean, like, you trading Gordon Hayward, trading basically everyone other not named Smart, Tatum or Brown right now, feels like it should be on the table. It should be like Ainge is. I mean, this is Ainge at his finest. He was the best at asset acquiring mode. It feels like we got to transfer back into that because those are that's the young cornerstone of the team. And other than that, like what other players are going to be useful in this immediate upcoming season? It's all development projects at this point.
Yeah. And so the expectations will have changed in Boston
drastically,
assuming Horford does leave. Even if he doesn't, it is just, it's going to be a totally different franchise direction than everybody anticipated a year ago.
How pissed off is Brad Stevens right now?
You know what? I'm sure he's very disappointed that he may not be able to get to coach Al Horford again. But after last season, I don't think he'll be like totally devastated that the team will have a new feel. And obviously,
I'm sure he's thrilled that Kyrie Irving is gone. Apparently, some story came out, I don't even know the source of it, that apparently Kyrie Irving, at some point Brad Stevens said good morning to him at practice, and Kyrie asked, what do you think is the definition of government? And
yeah,
so
that was on Doug Gottlieb's radio show.
I don't know where what the sourcing is on that one, but that's absolutely absurd.
I want to believe that.
Absolutely.
I'm not sure even with Kyrie I can believe that one. But I want to.
I want to believe it. I think Brad's got to be like mighty disappointed right now just because I think, because you mentioned what Al Horford did for everyone, he's the kingmaker. Al Horford basically made Isaiah Thomas into an all-NBA player. I don't want to take away what Isaiah Thomas did, but the fact that Al Horford was on his team and was spacing the floor and giving him that room to drive drastically helped everything. Al Horford made, I think, was a big reason why Kyrie had his most efficient season. He's the key to basically the entire Celtics offense. And that's not saying much because Celtics offense wasn't been great, but without the spacing he provides, it's not – they're going to struggle to score points, man. They're going to struggle to do everything. And here's a little story time. Last year at Summer League, I was not a credentialed media member, so I was just there lamping, hanging out. I was wearing my Al Horford is good T-shirt, and I ran into Brad, and we just started talking about – what's just random stuff. And then he, as I got up to leave, he saw my shirt. He said, "Hey, that should say great." So that's a solid Brad joke. And he was basically just a huge Al Horford fan. And I don't know. I feel like I've gone into rambling mode just cause I'm sad and now drinking away my feelings. You know, it's just a tough time to be a Celtics fan.
It is. It is. And the numbers with Horford off the court after the All-Star break were just bad. They were bad. They were really, really bad.
What was it? Negative 9.8 net rating?
Negative 9.8 net rating without Horford after the All-Star break.
Sheesh!
Let's let that take us into a break ourselves. It's fun. All right, we're back. Devastation may be hitting the Celtics. Doomsday scenario may be in Boston. Al Horford may be leaving. What do you think the Celtics should do with... Should they clear cap space and go after, like, try to overpay one of the young guys and lure them away? Like a Malcolm Brogdon or a D'Angelo Russell or I don't know who else would be one of those guys? Or do they try to take on bad contracts because now they're rebuilding? Do they just try to keep Mook around and keep Terry around and do things that way?
Oh, God.
What do you think the Celtics should do or pivot to if Horford doesn't come back?
That is a good question. I'm vacillating between, like, yeah, I like kind of like the idea of getting a younger, like, D'Angelo Russell is a very solid scoring guard. I think he's young enough to kind of work on what the Celtics timeline is doing, so it's, like, an all right idea. Brogdon's solid, but he's not just, like, a difference maker. It feels like they shouldn't go after a guy just to spend money. Like, those guys are solid NBA players, but I don't think they're, like, the stars that they're going to need to kind of compete. I think they should go not into tank mode, but into rebuilding mode where it's like, see what they can get for Gordon Hayward. Maybe go into just taking on salaries to take picks and stuff like that. And I don't know, man, they're really just not in a great position to do anything. I feel like the reason you would want to pivot more towards taking on salaries is at least you know your direction. Because I just like think the idea of like trying to sign someone. I see people on Twitter like saying, oh, they should renounce all those people, so try and sign Kemba. No, that's the dumbest idea. So you want to be like the sixth seed in the East or like that's just not – it doesn't make sense for them to go out and get any big-name free agents to me. There's not a good enough team. If you can get a young guy, maybe like that's the only reason I'm kind of – like the idea of D'Angelo Russell now, but I don't know. Other than that, it feels like they need to do something else. I'm at a loss for words right now. I don't know there's no clear path forward.
Yeah. And everything's just weird without Al. like obviously it would be Tatum and Brown's team and Smart's team.
But that's what they do first. They need to make Marcus Smart the captain.
But Hayward would be there. And like, that's just, he doesn't fit the rest.
Okay,
of
let's say the goal is to try and make the team as best as possible for next year. So Hayward staying, you still have a starting lineup of Smart, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, Gordon Hayward, a glaring hole at center position. I've seen some Vucevic from the Magic. He's a free agent. Possibly sign him. Still, I still think that's like a classic middling team. I just don't know if that's worth it. But I don't know. Like, what are the other options if you're trying to make the best Celtics team for next year? You got to find someone to play a center.
Aaron Baines?
I love Aaron Baines, all of Australia, but you cannot play him more than 20 minutes a game.
Time Lord the God?
I'm for Time Lord the God if he's not going to be a scared man on offense when he gets the basketball. Like, if he actually, like, can do something, I'm all for developing Time Lord. But if you're playing Time Lord that many times, you're basically in development mode. You're no longer in trying to create the best team possible.
But that's what it would be if Horford leaves, right?
I guess so, but at that point, it's like, why not try to trade Gordon Hayward?
Well, because he has no value right now.
It's a good point. It's a good point. Man, that guy's got to be pissed off, too. He signed on this team to be play with Kyrie Irving and Al Horford, and now they're both gone.
Yeah. It's interesting. It is... I mean, jeez.
There's no clear option. They're pretty. The Celtics went from they bet big on Kyrie and Gordon Hayward, and pretty much as soon as Hayward broke his ankle, it's been bad news bears ever since. It's just like the whole bet has just blown up in their face, and then over the past like 2 weeks. It's really blown up in their faces, and I don't know. It's tough to see what they do moving forward after this because there's just no clear path to success. There was talk of them owning the entire decade at the start of last season, and now it's just like, well, fuck.
Yeah, it appears they will not own this decade. That seems to be something that is very much off the table right now. Unless whoever they pick at 14 is the god.
Do you see them doing anything like to try and move up in this year's draft? There was like some reporting today that they were looking at trying to get the guy from Vanderbilt and trying to get the 4 pick. Like, I know Danny Ainge has been, he's a dealer. People say that, but like, what do you think what could they do if they were really trying to make moves to like this year's or like for the draft on Thursday?
I don't know how much this impacts things. I assume they were probably going to try to trade up anyway. They have 3 first-round picks. They'll certainly look into it. Maybe it changes things. Maybe they'll decide that. I think what really matters, though, is if they fall in love with a guy, they'll try to trade up. Like the Justice Winslow thing. Like, they were 100% sold that Justice Winslow was going to be a legitimate star, and they were ready to just sell their loved ones to get the rights to Justice Winslow. If there's someone in this draft, and I don't know if there is, not a lot of teams are falling in love with guys outside of Zion, I think. But maybe there is. Maybe there's someone the Celtics are really sold on and they'll try to do that. But I think that's more of something that they would have done anyway if they just fell in love with a guy. So when Kyrie decided he was probably going to leave and when that became the assumption and when the Celtics didn't get Anthony Davis, they were never really going to be contenders next year regardless, I think. So it shouldn't change their thinking from that standpoint. But obviously now there's more of a focus on youth now that Horford could be leaving with Kyrie. And all the Celtics' plans have gone kaboom.
Whew. It's not great. Not great, Bob. Not great.
Yeah, I mean,
sheesh.
It's about to be crazy, G.
Where do you think Horford fits the best? If you could be, you just assign him to a team, where do you think he would be the best fit?
Milwaukee would be an awesome, awesome fit. Like, really just a lovely fit.
Replacing Brook Lopez or alongside Brook Lopez?
Replacing Brook Lopez.
Yeah, he's just a better Brook Lopez.
Yeah, I think he'd give them more dynamic defensively. I think they'd have to convince them to just launch threes to provide maximum spacing for Giannis. And maybe he'll do that. But I think also just everything he can do in the pick and roll and being so mobile and what he can do in pick and pop too. Like he's just a more versatile Brook Lopez to me. And they could keep, I believe, Middleton and Brogdon and Horford and get Horford. So
how the hell did they do that?
Cap hold, bruh.
But I just don't understand how they already signed Bledsoe. That feels like a real dumb thing they had done earlier in the year. But I guess if they're not paying people that much money, who do they have to renounce to get like the space for Horford? That's the question. It's like, what's the money situation?
They would have to trade Ilyasova and Tony Snell for no money returning.
Oh, so, that's easy. Just a second round picks.
It'd be pretty funny if the Celtics demanded like two first round picks from the Bucks to use their cap space. But
I think it'd be worth it for the Bucks. Like, what are they, the 29th pick?
Yeah. But this is,
what do you think about the potentials for sign and trades? Because I've seen those things too, like Capella or Steven Adams or some other team that doesn't necessarily have cap space. Sign trades are a lot harder to do, but I don't know. Yeah, I'm just trying to think of other possibles, like destinations for Horford.
That would take Horford thinking like that's the place for me, because he'll have places with cap space that won't have to be signing trades. Maybe he does think, okay, let's go to Houston. Houston seems like a weird fit to me.
Houston seems like a place you don't want to play basketball because Chris Paul and James Harden hate each other.
Yeah, and I know there's talk about them trying to incorporate more ball movement, but Horford in like an ISO-centric offense just feels very weird to me and something that he probably wouldn't want to do. Oklahoma City, maybe. I know he considered the Thunder before he signed with the Celtics a few years ago. Billy Donovan, obviously, I think he's still pretty close with him after playing for him at Florida. So maybe that would be an option, but I don't know how easy that would be. I don't know how feasible that is right now. I think there are probably other options that are more likely from a Celtics perspective.
I'll be fine with anywhere other than the Los Angeles Lakers. That'd be a real swift kick to the junk.
Do you have to readjust your draft board to find another guy with gorgeous eyes? Let's hold off on your answer to that. Your break. All right, and we're back to hear whether Sam Packard, Jam Packard, God Jam God, now has to readjust his draft board to pursue someone with gorgeous eyes.
See, here's the thing. You don't go looking for gorgeous eyes. When gorgeous eyes come across, when you come across them in the world, you just identify them and you appreciate them. But you can't go just assigning someone gorgeous eyes, because then you end up saying someone is way more beautiful than they actually are. And it's just not how it works. Like it's Al Horford's a beautiful man, a great father, a great family man, a great leader. And you just can't find that person, just anywhere. You just have to kind of wait and hope one day you can cross paths with that person in the future. It's not something you can just to search for. I don't know. I can't even think of another person in the league with eyes like Al Horford.
Just a tough hit from the gorgeous eyes perspective, as well as many other perspectives.
It's a tough hit all around. The memes are gone. I don't know. Here's the thing. Moving forward, let's say they get no one. They just get a bunch of middling stars. Let's talk about what, I still think the Celtics will be fun. Considering how low expectations are going to be, especially after this offseason, I think it's going to be fun to watch the development of Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and Marcus Smart moving forward, especially Tatum and Brown in their fourth and third years, or third and fourth years, respectively. I don't think it's going to be a miserable Celtics season. I think it will still be interesting. It's just that we have no idea what the pieces around them are going to be. But I still think, nonetheless, they've just gone from a team this is the second timeline that we kind of envisioned. It's just it got shifted to the second timeline so much faster than anyone else expected. But it's still they're still a solid rebuilding team with very good young talent. I don't want to sit here and say be completely doom and gloom, because they're still in a very, I wouldn't say a very good position, but they're in a decent position with young potential stars that they're can build around.
And the Grizzlies pick is now huge to have. They need the Grizzlies to just tank and be
They need the Grizzlies to be decent next year and then tank the following year.
They need that Grizzlies pick to become unprotected 2 years from now, and for it to yield a brilliant, brilliant, gorgeous-sized man.
Yeah, they need to be looking out. They need to be in the high schools looking for the most gorgeous young men out there. Well, no, when's the double draft happen? Would that be the same year that the Grizzlies pick is unprotected when it's both high schoolers and college players?
That's a good question.
Come on, Jay, you work for the goddamn Athletic.
Currently know the answer. These are things.
I'm pretty sure it would be the double draft would be the same year that the Grizzlies pick. I may be a year off on that one, but the double draft is a new term I just recently learned, and I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be the draft to end all drafts.
It's going to be the
double draft. What we've done. That's what I've done in this podcast. I've gone from sadness to talking myself into a hypothetical draft class 2 to 3 years down the future, where it's really going to solve all of our problems. I've said I'm no longer a Celtics fan anymore. I'm just an Al Horford fan. I'm going to start Locked On Al Horford, and it's going to follow him wherever he goes. I don't know, man. I just don't know what they do. Give me the best plan. I feel like I'm at a loss for words. What is Danny Ainge doing right now? Who is he calling? What are they trying to do?
They are probably when Baines gets an injury and he just screams it off.
They're just rage yelling.
Feel Ainge has probably spent some time doing that, just screaming at the walls and wondering what the hell happened the last couple of years that led from his team going from the team everyone thought, unanimously thought was going to be a contender for many years, to just their pets' heads are falling off. And now they got to regroup, pick themselves back off the mat. Find another guy with gorgeous eyes. Take advantage of the double draft.
Double draft!
And move forward. But seriously, there are... Now they just shift priorities. Al Horford was their stated priority. Now they got to find a way to... do they keep Terry? Do they clear the cap space? Go after one of the young guys out there? Try to lure one of those guys? Do they clear the cap space and then take on contracts and get additional picks for that? There are a lot of different ways they can go now. None of them are nearly as attractive as the options that seemed available to them even a few months ago.
This morning, I was trying to talk myself into figuring out a Drew Holiday trade where it was going to make them a contender again. And now it's just shit.
Yeah, that's tough. That's tough. That is no longer an option. I'll just say that. But I will say, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown and Marcus Smart, like, that's a really good start for a future. And obviously, it's not the future everyone wanted, not the future Ainge wanted, not the future the owners wanted.
Does this, like, change? We talked about how it didn't change their approach in the draft, but, like, I've been listening, and I started my draft research today just, you know, to get ready for Thursday. But does this make it more likely for them to take, like, a swing on someone like Bol Bol, like a big to try, like a scoring big to try and add in the draft, like to add to that young core? Because clearly they need a point guard. I don't believe in Marcus Smart being the point guard of the future, and clearly they need a big man. It's like people talk about this draft as being there's like four guys, and then after that there's some guys you can like take big swings on, and maybe they'll be good, and maybe they'll be like most likely they'll be shitty, but there's a chance they'll be a superstar. Bol Bol 7'3" can shoot the lights out from deep. Like, is there more reason to just go for bigger swings now that they're just trying to find someone to kind of match those three guys you mentioned?
Well, there are reasons that Bol Bol, who is 7'3" and can shoot the lights out, is not considered an automatic lottery pick.
Well, he's a broken man, but that's why you take a swing.
But yeah, so I mean, I feel like every year Celtics' goal in the draft is pretty much the same. There's a sliding scale between when you take that risk and when you settle for someone you think is going to be a role player, like the Kelly Olynyk draft. The Celtics, like, I'm sure they're intrigued by Giannis. But at that point, Giannis was just, like, skinny little kid, couldn't shoot. He hadn't played any real competition. Like, nobody could have envisioned him putting on, like, 900 pounds and becoming just a destroyer of worlds. He obviously had more upside, even as a skinny little kid, than Kelly Olynyk. But the Celtics knew Kelly Olynyk was going to be a pretty good player. And he was. And he was a good draft pick. And the sliding scale the Celtics used said, okay, let's go on Olynyk. And obviously, in retrospect, that was a mistake when Giannis is out there, but it was still a good pick. And I'm kind of rambling now, too. But I guess that's what happens when you just think you're going to have, like, a pretty easy night. And
when you're dumbfounded, when you're bamboozled, when you're it's everything is what you thought was good was bad. Your world is flipped upside down. The father figure in your life is gone. The attractive man who's been consoling you for the past 4 years is no longer in your life. It's madness. It's utter madness. And I'm glad you were here to just like help me talk through my emotions, because I'm at a loss for words right now. I'm a shell of a human being.
I can be your role model now.
Thank you.
I can be the steady force in your life, the guiding light.
That's what I'm hoping for. I mean, if only you didn't have such a trash back and could actually hoop, I think I would take you up on that.
I do have a trash back. I'm literally laying in bed as we record this podcast because my back is in absolute shambles.
I know. That's why I brought it up.
Now the people know, too, that my back is destroyed, deteriorated.
Done. Everything is going to shit, man. Your back's blowing up. Al Horford's leaving. You know, it's just like something needs to happen. I don't know. We need to go do some ayahuasca on July 4th and go on a spirit quest and figure out who we really are as people.
Spirit quest. I like that. Vision quest. Let's all go have vision quest.
All right. That's from us to Celtics fans. Is if you're feeling down, just go out into the woods, go on a vision quest, and really just find yourself.
Have you seen the movie Vision Quest?
No, I have no idea what you're talking about.
See, this is where my mentorship of you begins.
All right. Lesson one, watch Vision Quest.
Go watch Vision Quest right now.
Oh, my God. This looks like one of the worst 80s movies of all time.
Oh, no. It is a glorious, glorious movie. Loudon Swain is a hero. Loudon Swain will help you understand things about yourself that you didn't even realize were there.
Loudon Swain is a high school wrestler who has just turned 18 and decided that he needs to do something truly meaningful in his life. He embarks on a mission to drop two weight classes to challenge the area's toughest opponent. What's his name?
Shoot.
Oh, Brian Shute, a menacing three-time state champion from nearby rival Hoover High School, who has never been defeated in his high school career. In his zeal to drop from 190 pounds to 168 pounds, against the wishes of his coach and teammates, he disrupts the team around him and creates health problems of his own. This doesn't sound like a feel-good story, but maybe that's the lesson I need to learn.
That's why you need to go on your own vision quest. Sometimes it's not about the people around you. It's about what's inside your soul.
That makes a lot of sense. Wait. I'm gonna go eat some ice cream, cry myself to sleep, and watch Vision Quest.
Let's do that. If you don't watch Vision Quest right now, you're a failure in my eyes.
All right. Well, I'm probably not going to watch Vision Quest, so nothing will really change in your eyes. But I think it's a good time to wrap up this this emotional podcast. It lacked organization, but it made up for it in bringing the true feelings to the squad. So, I think we've done our part.
God bless. God bless this episode. God bless. God bless Vision Quest.
Pour one out for Al. Gorgeous eyes, Horford.
From the Lockdown Celtics podcast, part of the Lockdown Podcast Network. Yeah, Corrales, Packard, and J. King.